And welcome back to the X-Zone, everyone. My name is Rob McConnell. Jordan Maxwell is our guest. He continues as a preeminent researcher and independent scholar in the field of occult re-philosophy. His interest in these subjects began as far back as 1959. He served for 3 years, as religion editor for Truth Seeker magazine, America's oldest free thought journal since 1873. And Jordan is known for his expertise in the areas of astrotheology, foundations for modern-day religion, secret societies and toxic religion, world mysteries, ancient and modern, ancient symbols and occult emblems, ancient sciences and technology, hidden Bible teachings and mysteries, the sun in the history of politics and religion, the story your church doesn't want you to know, secret societies, and so much more. And Jordan Maxwell, welcome to the X-Zone.
Much. Always a pleasure to be on the radio. Got so many things going on here, I never can figure out where I am at any particular moment of the day, but there's so much happening, trying to keep up with everything. But
you cover such a wide spectrum of topics, and over the last couple of years, we have certainly seen a paradigm shift in the way that people are thinking. Theology is changing, spirituality is changing. People seem to be wanting more answers. The little connotation that we are sheep does not seem to be the status quo anymore. And I was wondering if you, in your travels and talking to the people that you do, if you too are noticing that the world is going a lot faster and people want more answers.
Without a doubt, I'm finding that quite literally around the world, especially outside of America. People are really, really worried now because of the things which are now beginning to come into focus, because there's been a lot of nebulous stuff out there over the years. While the masters are working behind the scenes, there wasn't really anything definitive for the people to speak of. But now things are becoming very definitive. They're becoming very well established that all of the different systems that are now in place. Now it's beginning to, dawn on people that there's something major, big going on, something that's been going on for a long time, and now it's finally occurring to the masses of people that something is definitely wrong and where the whole entire world is heading.
Where do you think we're heading, Jordan?
Well, you're asking for a subjective opinion. I can just tell you what I think and what I feel.
Mm-hmm.
I think that we are going to, as a race, as a creation, the human family, will continue, but I am totally convinced that we are in a stage of mutation. We are right now being mutated purposely according to a long-range political plan. The human family is being mutated, and that's a pretty trippy subject. I mean, when you get into the idea that we were created to start with,
mm-hmm.
and therefore whoever or whatever it was that created us obviously is smarter than we are, and it has plans for us, just as we have plans for the cattle that's out there in the field. But they don't have any idea in the world. All they're doing is just out there in the field, biding their time and doing what they normally do, and they're looking after their young, etc., never realizing that there's a higher intelligence that is watching them and planning their future, whether they know it or not. But people are beginning to suspect there may very well be something to this idea that there's a higher powers behind the throne that are manipulating the whole world. I think there is.
All right, let's talk more about this when we come back from this commercial break that we have to take here. Jordan Maxwell is our special guest. He's going to be with us until the 2 o'clock hour Eastern. And if you'd like to visit his website, www.jordanmaxwell.com, JordanMaxwell.com. Before we went to the commercial break, we were talking about the new paradigm, the shift in the paradigm, and how the world seems to be speeding up. Jordan, I've been talking to so many people over the last 3 years about the end times. Some people believe it's the Armageddon, the end of the Mayan calendar, 2012. I just think it's going to be the rebirth of spirituality and the return to an awareness that we have long lost, forgotten. And what are your comments?
Well, I'll tell you what. The problem is that we're not understanding the word. I do believe that we are entering what most of the ancient prophets call the end times. There's no doubt in my mind about that. But what does it mean? What do those words actually mean?
All right. So what we have to do is better understand the words as given to us by the prophets and stop putting in our own interpretations.
Exactly. Yeah.
All right. Now let's do that.
Let me give you an example.
Okay.
And some of the audience may have heard me say this before, but it bears repeating, that if you have a two-story house or a two-story building and you're going to put a lot of weight up on the second floor, mm-hmm. like printing presses and some heavy-duty equipment, what you need to do is go downstairs first and get on a ladder with a building inspector. Go up through the ceiling tiles and look at the floor and see what it's based on. See what kind of a foundation it's sitting on so that you'll know better if this weight is going to, be held.
Well, that makes sense.
So
yeah.
What you're doing is you're standing under the foundation to get understanding. You cannot understand anything unless you stand under the foundation of the thing you're building on. So until and unless you stand under the foundation of religion and government and words and terms and accurately understand the words that you're using, we need to define terms. And in the Bible, there's a lot of talk about the end of the world. The very word in the New Testament has Jesus talking about the end of the world. The very word world comes from, and it was mistranslated by the Bible translators because the King James Translating Committee was extraordinarily well-versed in the King's English. They weren't that hot on Hebrew and Greek. So they made some errors in the translation of Hebrew and Greek. But it's not anything that we couldn't straighten out if you just go to a library and sit down and look at the reference works on the biblical languages. And you will see, yes, they made a mistake when they were saying that Jesus said that he talked about the coming, quote, end of the world. Well, in fact, the word world in Greek is a word aeon, spelled A-E-O-N, aeon. Aeon does not mean world. Greek. In the Greek language, aeon means a period of time, a calendar event. For instance, everything starts for us according to the Babylonian way of thinking. That's what we do. And on January 1st, that begins our year. And on December 31st at midnight, it ends our year. So that's a calendar event. Something starts and something ends.
Mm-hmm.
And so the word aeon simply means in Greek the end of a period of time and the beginning of another period of time. And the word aeon is correctly translated age, A-G-E. So therefore, the Bible is actually saying that there is going to be an end to this age.
All right,
and there will be another age beginning.
All right, stand by, Jordan. We have to take a commercial break here with the news at the bottom of the hour. Jordan Maxwell is our special guest. His website is www.jordanmaxwell.com. You're listening to the X Zone Radio Show. Jordan Maxwell is our special guest. His website is www.jordanmaxwell.com. And if you'd like to pick up the phone and give us a call and speak to Jordan, it's a toll-free call throughout the U.S. and Canada, 1-877-528-8255. That's 1-877-528-8255. If you're listening to us on TalkStarRadio.com, streaming audio, or in Europe and Western UK on Pioneer Radio, you can also send us an email to xzone@talkstarradio.com. And on MSN Messenger to talkstarradio@hotmail.com. Jordan, before we went to the commercial break, we were starting to set up the segment by saying that the words as we understand them are not as they were meant to be, because we have not secured the foundation necessary to understand these words. Am I correct?
Right. You've got it. And if you put an S in front of the word word, it becomes sword.
Right.
Because words can be very, very devastating, be very serious.
The tongue is mightier than the sword.
You got that right.
Yes.
And it's an extraordinary awakening that one has when you begin to sit down quietly and think about words and terms which you have accepted and never questioned where they came from and who provided those words for you. And most people are totally unaware that the English language was purposely designed according to a forethought on how to put words together and to prepare the human psyche to think in a certain way. I've heard far more well-informed people speaking on this than I am. And at this point, that reminds me to say that I am not the world's foremost authority on anything. I am simply an ordinary man pursuing extraordinary knowledge. I know how much it is I don't know. But I am just appalled at how much we are not told where words and ideas and concepts have come from. And once you start doing that kind of research, it becomes very, very interesting. I mean, when you begin to see where our symbols of government come from, all you need to do is go to a library and get a book on, or just go to the web and do some research on the ancient Roman government. The ancient Rome, the seat of power, of course, was in Rome. That was the central seat of power. But for Caesar, the very seat of power on which the emperor sat was referred to, his home office was referred to as Capitol Hill, or Capitoline Hill,
mm-hmm.
which gives us our word Capitol Hill. And, of course, capital is a Latin word for money. So if you don't have the capital, you can't do anything without the capital. So we have a capital up on the hill. And when you begin to see how these words work, the Senate was, quote, up on the hill, end quote. And so, and go to the library and get a reference work on Rome, and you'll see all of these words that were used in ancient Rome, we're still using today.
Mm-hmm.
And today, the Senate is up on the hill, and the Capitol has a dome, and the reason why most state government houses in the Washington, D.C.'s Capitol has a dome, it's not by mere chance. The Latin word is domus. Domus, which is the root word from which we get our word dynamite, dumas, dynamite, domus, means the, it gives us the word out, like I said, dome, from which we get dominate, domesticate, domineering. Domus means the power to do things. You have the dynamite, the power. And so therefore it's symbolically represented by a domus or a dome. And consequently Caesar, the reference works will tell you, Caesar before going before the Senate
mm-hmm.
each morning, must, according to the law, he had to go into the temple that was an actual shrine on Capitol Hill, and it was called, the shrine was dedicated to the goddess Juno Monita, from which we get Juno, Alaska. Juno Monita, he had to go there because the temple, as it was called, was where the coins were struck for the government of Rome. And so the word Monita gives us our word money. So Caesar, as no matter how powerful he thought himself to be, and no matter how handsome and brave he thought himself to be, before you could go to the Senate up on the hill, you had to go to Juno Monita, the goddess of money, and check with the bankers first. Because you're not going to do anything, no matter how powerful you are, without money.
All right, stand by, Jordan. We have to take our commercial break here. Jordan Maxwell is our special guest. We're talking about words in a very special and strange way. Mythical, mystical, and theological. My name is Rob McConnell. You're listening to the X-Zone Radio Show on the Talkstar Radio Network. And if you'd like to give us a call, 1-877-528-8255 is toll-free throughout the U.S. and Canada. Or you can send an email to xzone@talkstarradio.com. I'll be back in 2 minutes, live and around the world, right here on the Talkstar Radio Nelson Messenger. Jordan Maxwell is our special guest, www.jordanmaxwell.com, and we're talking about words and how words play a very important part in our life. And as Jordan was telling us before we went to the commercial break, words that were used in Rome are still being used today, and one thing is for sure, Jordan, if you don't have the money, you can't get to Capitol Hill.
As a matter of fact, did you know that by law, and we're not talking about what you thought or how people assume, but the actual law says that in America and Canada, you cannot pay a bill. Did you know that?
You cannot pay a bill.
That's right. You cannot, by law, banking law, international maritime admiralty law says you cannot pay a bill. You can discharge a debt, but you cannot pay a bill. Because the word bill means something, and to discharge, that's why when you get out of the service, you are discharged.
Right.
Let me give an example of how you discharge a debt, but you cannot pay a bill.
All right.
I hire you to paint my car, and...
well, that's your biggest mistake right there, because I'm
right
not going to paint
the
car.
See, I told you. And from there, it just goes downhill.
Yeah, all right.
But I hire you to paint my car. You charge me $100. I agree.
Okay.
When you get through with the job, what do? You're not, normally, we're talking commerce, we're talking business. So, I'm not just going to pay you, you have to give me a bill.
Right.
I want to see exactly what you did, how much it cost, and I want to see it if it looks right to me.
Mm-hmm.
And then you will give me a bill. If I agree to it, then I will reach in my pocket and I will hand you a $100 bill. Unless, of course, the bill is $20, then I will hand you a $20 bill. So I'm giving you a bill for $20 or $100, and you're giving me a bill for $100. Well, I haven't paid you, and you haven't paid me. But you gave me a bill. Well, that's okay. I gave you a bill, too. And therefore, we're even now. And so the whole idea in Western civilization or Anglo-Saxon banking is not to actually pay for anything. What you do is you give somebody a bill for the exact amount they just gave you. And, boy, that opens up a can of worms.
It sure does.
Let me tell you, you don't own anything. The only way you can own something is to pay for it. And you've never paid for anything. All you've done is nullified my bill. Now, if you're walking across carpet and you build up electricity in your body because your body is a bioelectrical unit, and then you touch a piece of metal, you get a shock. Why? Because the juice that was in you just discharged, came out of you, and into the metal. So you got a shock. Well, that's what we do. We get a sticker shock when you walk in to buy a new car. And consequently, it's just an extraordinary world of the occult use of words and terms. And people do not understand these words, and so they just take things for granted and get upset and mad when things don't work out. And I think to myself, if you had just understood the word, you wouldn't have done what you did. But let me give you an example. There's a world of difference between being an English or a British. English is, of course, a bloodline. But the word British comes from a Hebrew word, berith. A berith, B-R-E-T-H, berith, is a contract in Hebrew. And ish, I-S-H, is man or men, can be singular or plural. Therefore, you put them together, contract man, or men of the contract, the British. And the British, man of the contract, developed something called Anglo-Saxon banking. Now, once you understand the word bank, you need to understand courts first to understand a bank. When you walk into a court, why do you go to a court? Well, you play basketball and tennis on a court. And so the whole idea in court is to, obviously, put the ball back in the other guy's court.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have your team of attorneys, and that team throws the ball over the other side of the court, and that team stands up and throws the ball back in your court. And therefore the referee, when he walks in, wearing a black robe, black was the color associated with the planet Saturn. By the ancient peoples of the world. Black represents Saturn, who incidentally was called Lord of the Rings. And therefore, when the judge walks in, everyone rises. Why? Because he is representing Saturn, Lord of the Rings, and he is the umpire. He's going to watch the game and make sure it's played correctly. Because he doesn't care which team wins the game, as long as you play fair and square. And therefore, my goodness, where do you go from there? The judge rules from the bench. Look up the word in Latin, bench, and you will see the word bench in Latin means a bank. Therefore, the judge walks in, everyone rises because he represents the bank.
All right, stand by, Jordan. We have to take it back to the X-Zone. My name is Rob McConnell. Jordan Maxwell is our special guest. Jordan is going to be with us on the other side of the news coming up at the top of the hour. We're talking about words, and if you'd like to visit Jordan's website, it's www.jordanmaxwell.com. All right, Jordan, so we've got the gist of what the court is all about. The judge represents the planet Saturn or the Lord of the Rings. He also represents the bank.
Correct.
And both lawyers are volleying the case back and forth, and this is why it's called a court. And the reason the judge is there is to make sure that the game is played properly.
According to the rules.
According to the rules. So the judge is just like a referee would be in a sports game. Okay.
Well, what about a tennis court? In professional tennis, what do you have?
You have
the referee sitting up on high.
Mm-hmm.
So he can look down on the game.
Well, but it would be very hard for him to be able to call a foul and out if he was on the field level. This is why he has to be higher. Yeah.
That's why. And so that's where we get the idea that you look up to the law. You look up to older people. You look up to the law. And the law looks down on you. And consequently, as I said, the judge represents the bank because he sits on the bench. And where do you find a bank? We call them river banks. A river bank is on both sides of a river.
Mm-hmm.
What does a river bank do? It directs the flow of the currency. This is why your money is liquid assets. It's currency. It's the ebb and flow of the capital. It's the ebb and flow. Now, you need to understand, along with all of this, the foundation for all of this goes back to the fact that on the earth, there are only two things existing on the earth, water and earth. Land and water are the only two things the earth is made up of. So, people live on the earth, they live on land. And so the law of the people who live on a particular plot of land is called the law of the land.
Governed by a landlord.
That's exactly right. Now you're getting it.
Okay.
So consequently, people don't live on water, they live on land. So they have a landlord, and they also have the law of the land. And so we say, well, this and that is the law of the land. No, law of the land is used in relation to the law of water. The law of water is the law, the water is all over the world, so the law of water is banking law. Because you can, it doesn't matter what color, or race, creed, or color you are, you can walk into South Africa and get a credit card and go right to Russia and get a hotel and eat well and fly to China and tour the world on a credit card. Why? Because money is money.
Our special guest is Jordan Maxwell, and if you'd like to visit Jordan's website, www.jordanmaxwell.com. And Jordan, we're talking about words, and over the last hour, you know, the words that flow one into the next certainly make a lot of sense. And when we last were speaking to you before we took our news at the top of the hour, we were talking about the sea, the law of the sea. Now, what is the law of the sea called?
The law of the sea is referred to in law as maritime admiralty. Maritime admiralty is the name of the law which refers to the law of water, and it's the same all over the earth. No matter what country you're in, if you're doing business and money is changing hands, you are now in the realm of maritime admiralty, or the law of water, the law of the high seas. And you need to understand that all of this has to do, as I said, with water. And let me give you an example of how this works.
Okay, please.
When a ship pulls into harbor, and again, some have heard me say this, but others haven't. When a ship pulls into harbor, say with $800 million worth of Toyotas or television sets, it's coming, first of all, into our country or into the country, money is going to change hands. So obviously, right off the bat, we're talking about maritime admiralty business. And it comes in on a ship. I don't care if it's a rocket ship or a sailing ship. It doesn't matter. All ships are female, always. According to the law, all ships are referred to as females because she's a good vessel. She's a good ship. And the reason why is because of maritime admiralty banking law. So when the ship pulls into harbor, it pulls in and parks at the dock. And where it sits is called its berth. It's called berthing a ship, or she sits in her berth. And therefore, each item on board, the captain, who's representing the capital, because the banks in Japan put up a lot of money for Toyota to make those cars, they want their money back with interest. And so the captain has to provide for the port authorities what is called a certificate of manifest for each item being brought into the country.
Which basically is proving that the article actually exists by manifesting
it. All of the information accordingly. How much does it weigh? What color is it? Is it two-door, four-door? And so all the information has to be on the certificate of manifest, because yesterday the ship wasn't here, but this morning we came in and here's the ship, so it's manifested.
All right, let's hold it right there, because yes, we're talking about words, and before we went to the commercial break, we were speaking about the manifest that a captain who is representing the capital of the investors, in this example that Jordan used on the ship being filled with Toyotas coming over from Japan and the exchange. And when you stop to analyze words, it just opens up a whole new world.
Well, absolutely. And like I was saying, so the captain is always the captain of the ship. Well, you have airships and rocket ships and sailing ships. But this is why anytime you're going to buy something, they're going to send it to you. The company's going to send it to you. They're going to ship it to you. And so you have to pay for shipping. Well, all ships are female. Therefore, the ship, as I said, comes in, parks in the by the dock. It's sitting in its berth, and therefore each item has to have a certificate of manifest because it's come into being. It wasn't here yesterday, so it's manifested. And so all of this is just interesting maritime admiralty terms and words that are used in banking. But the important point is that by law, when you were born, your mother's water broke. You were encapsulated in a bag of water. And when her water broke, you came out to life. So therefore, you are considered by law, by banking law. This is not foolishness. This is law.
Mm-hmm.
You are considered a maritime admiralty product because you came out of water. You came out of your mother's water, and her water broke, and therefore you are a maritime admiralty product because this is why you have to have a birth certificate. Because you have manifested. You weren't here yesterday, but now you're here. So now you have manifested. You have to have a birth certificate. And if you are taking a Toyota or television or whatever off the ship and it falls down and breaks, well, that's a stillbirth. And those things happen. So there's no problem with that. The banks have made, made provisions for that to happen. But you have to have the dock sign your death certificate. The dock has to sign your birth certificate. That's where the ship is sitting, and its berth is next to the dock. And it's tied to the dock. So the dock is very important on your birth certificate. You need to understand also that a bill in the ancient world was called a gauge.
A gauge.
A gauge. And so consequently, like I said, you can't. You could pay a bill back then, but today you cannot pay a bill. You can discharge a debt. So when you discharge something, that means it's dead. If you have a battery and it's all wound up, fine. But when it's totally dead, it's been discharged.
Just like someone would be discharged from bankruptcy.
That's exactly right. You're dead. It's over. Okay? So therefore, since you're dead, whatever it was that you owed is now in the morgue. So this is why you have a mortgage, because the gauge is now in the morgue. You have a mortgage. The Pope, the very word Pope, comes from a Latin word for a door. In Latin, the word door was papa, and therefore papa in our Anglo-Saxon is pop, or Pope, pop, or papa, which is your door. Of course, your papa is the door to your life.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, you can't open a door without hinges, so consequently a hinge in Latin is called a cardinal, like a cardinal point on the zodiac or a cardinal point on a map. So the cardinals help open Papa, the door, to the Babylonian mysteries. And all of this is very interesting, but when it really gets interesting is when you understand that the papacy and Europe and America, because we've come from Europe, all of Europe is a Druidic establishment on the earth. And America is a Druidic country. And everything we do here, our religion, our government, our banking, our arts, our music, is Druidic. And consequently, in the ancient Druidic or Druid culture in Europe, the priests were also the priests of government. They were the heads of state, and they were the heads of countries, but they also were the heads of the banks. And in the Druid religion, of course you've heard of the Druids and Stonehenge. Well, in the Druid religion, one of the most important symbols in the Druid religion was a magic wand.
All right, stand by. We have to take a commercial break here. Jordan Maxwell is our special guest. When we come back, we're going to be talking about the Druids and their magic wands as we investigate the world and the mystery of words tonight on the X-Zone. If you'd like to give us a call and tell us some mystery words that you have. Jordan Maxwell is our special guest. We're talking about words tonight on the X-Zone. And before we went to the break, Jordan, we were talking about the Druids and the magic wand. Now, how are you going to tie the magic wand into words that we use today?
Well, magic wands, the reference works, encyclopedias will tell you, the old Druid magic wands were always made out of the wood of a holly tree. It was made out of hollywood. Today, we are treated to the magic of Druidic Hollywood. And if you don't understand the Druidic philosophies, if you don't understand what Druidism was and what it stood for, you're never going to figure out Hollywood. But once you begin to see how these words and the terms and our political superstructure is all set up, and how we are nothing more than sitting and watching television, and we are being treated to the propaganda coming out of Hollywood. And it's just, when I'm doing these kind of programs, I much prefer talking about my favorite subject, which is theology and ancient religions and how they impact us today. However, this subject is so important, I think, for people just to wake up and look at the words you use and why do we use these terms. And finally, you know, when you begin to see how government works, you begin to see that money is, like I said, liquid assets, and of course you are a maritime product, and therefore if you get your boat in trouble, and your boat gets in trouble, you're going to have to be bailed out. And since your body is a bioelectrical unit, and we're over 90% water, therefore you're an electrical unit, if you can't get bailed out, then they're going to put you in a cell, which is exactly what a battery is. It's a cell. And then if you get put in the cell, you got to get bailed out. Again, how do you play tennis on a court? You play tennis with a racket. Mm-hmm. What I'm trying to tell you is that the entire superstructure of Western civilization is a racket. The entire superstructure of Western civilization's government, religion, philosophy is nothing more than a racket. And you need to understand how this stuff works. And once you begin to see why you have a court, then you understand why you have judges. And then you get finally to a very important subject, I think, and that is the planet Saturn, as it affects our political and religious life on the Earth.
Now, you've already said that the judge in our courts is basically representing Saturn, or the Lord of the Rings.
That's right, exactly. And consequently, the planet Saturn is not just a beautiful planet, but it is also esoterically in the ancient world meant something. The Saturn, the planet, is a very, very powerful, dark, and sinister force on the Earth. And the ancient peoples knew it, and all the ancient cultures and governments and kings and rulers have incorporated the teachings of the ancient god Saturn into world government, world politics. And my God, it's fascinating, because Saturn was referred to by the ancient Phoenician Canaanites as the word for Saturn in the ancient Canaanite language was El, E-L. El was Saturn. Therefore today, even if you are worshiping the planet Saturn, we refer to you as an elder. How did you get to be an elder? Well, you got elected. This is why we have elections. And consequently, you've got elected because you had the juice called electricity.
All right, stand by. We have to take a break for the news at the bottom of the hour. Maxwell Jordan's a very special gentleman with a very unique view and understanding of words. Jordan, welcome back. Thanks a lot. This is very interesting.
Thank you, sir. Let me give you another one.
All right.
I'm like Jimmy Durante. I got a million of them.
All right, Jimmy, let's go.
In the Old Testament, mm-hmm. we are told about the Messiah. And then in the New Testament of the Bible, Jesus is referred to as the Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's interesting. Back in the Old Testament, there are two places of the Old Testament, the Old Hebrew Bible, that refer to the Messiah as, quote, the chief cornerstone that the builders rejected. Once in Isaiah and once in the book of Psalms. So the Messiah is referred to as an interesting term, chief cornerstone, the scripture says. And then, as I said before, in Christianity, in the New Testament, Jesus is twice referred to as the chief cornerstone the builders rejected. Now, it gets very interesting. We're talking about the Messiah. We're talking about Christianity, Judaism, two powerful world religions. And they're both using the same term. Of course, the Old Testament's in Hebrew and the New Testament's in Koine Greek.
Mm-hmm.
But the point being is that the words that are used in both Greek and Hebrew are translated the same, chief cornerstone. Now, the reason why. Christians will tell you that Jesus is the cornerstone of the church.
Yes.
In point of fact, that's not true at all. There's nothing in the Bible says he's the cornerstone of the church. The scriptures clearly says he is the chief cornerstone. Not cornerstone, chief cornerstone. That does not mean the same thing at all. You go back to the Hebrew and look up the word chief cornerstone, and it will tell you that a chief cornerstone is a triangle perched on top of a pyramid. And in the Greek, in the New Testament Greek, Jesus is also the chief cornerstone, which is different from a cornerstone. And chief cornerstone in Greek simply means the highest triangle on a pyramid. Therefore, on the back of the $1 bill, you will see the symbol on the left-hand side of the pyramid, which has 13 layers. It has 72 stones on the face of it. And at the top, you will see a triangle with the eye. The eye and the triangle itself, represents the Hebrew concept of the Messiah. It represents the Christian interpretation of what Jesus is said to be, the chief cornerstone. That's what the very word means in Greek and Hebrew. A triangle, the highest point of a triangle, or the chief cornerstone is the triangle at the top. Now, if you take as I said, there are 13 layers in the pyramid. You have the word in Latin over the top of the pyramid, annuit coeptus. And on the bottom of the pyramid, you will see novas ordo seclorum. And novas is, of course, Latin for new. Ordo is order. So there's the new order. Seclorium, which is Latin for secular, meaning the world, worldly job, your secular education. So novas ordo seclorum is the new order of the world.
Or the new world order.
That's right, New World Order. And at the top of the pyramid, you will see the letters, as I said, in Latin, Annuit Coeptus, which simply means our enterprise is now a success, or has been crowned with success. And therefore, that symbol on the back of the dollar bill is, in point of fact, the symbol for the Hebrew Messiah, who is to come, and Jesus, the Messiah in Christianity. Now, how does that apply to where we are today and are in the times of which we're living? Everything is done in sequence of 13. On the back side of the dollar bill, on the right-hand side, you will see something called the Great Seal. And the Great Seal, you will see the eagle. And in the talons of the eagle, you will see on one side 13 arrows. And then you will see 13 leaves and 13 berries. In the 13 leaves, you'll see 13 stripes.
Mm-hmm.
above the eagle's head, you will see 13 stars, and the 13 stars are in the configuration. Look at the back of the dollar bill,
and you will see
the 13 stars are in the configuration of the Star of David. Once you begin to see how the symbolism that is encoded in our money, in our language, in our terms, in our whole world is being manipulated by words and terms and symbols, and we haven't the faintest idea in the world what any of this means. But I'm telling you, there is something very serious going on the earth, and once you begin to, for the first time, it begins to develop. And this is the way you develop a film, is in a dark room. And this is where the world today is, in the dark. But it is beginning now to develop, that there is some kind of a picture developing on the world stage. Something is happening. And I can tell you what it is and where it's coming from and what the end result is going to be, because you can read it. Read it for yourself. Behind our American government is something as a secret societies, of course. We know that. There have been secret societies behind all governments. But very important is a secret society founded back in the early 1800s, right around 1820s, in England. It became known as the British Israel World Federation.
All right, let's hold it right here, Jordan, because I don't want to get you going and have to stop you for the commercial that's coming up. We'll pick this up with the British Israel connection from the 1800s when we come back right here on the X-Zone Radio Show. Jordan Maxwell, a very interesting man. His website is www.jordanmaxwell.com. And when we come back, we'll have more of this mystery as Jordan now takes all the little pieces that he's been making his own pyramid with to tell us what is actually behind the picture. After all, like he said, it's right in front of us. We just have to understand the words that are being used. My name is Rob McConnell. This is the X-Zone. I'll be back with Jordan Maxwell on the other side of this break, live and around the world on the TalkStar Radio Network.com. Now, Jordan, over the last hour and 45 minutes, you've been building your own little pyramid to take us to a certain place and tell us exactly what's going on. And I'm telling you, you've got listeners around the world saying, all right, what's he going to be telling us next?
Well, I'm just going to tell you that is chaotic as everything might appear to be, in point of fact, there is nothing going on that isn't well established, well calculated, and there is no such a thing, as far as I'm concerned, as chaos. Because if you trace this back for thousands of years, mm-hmm. the kings and rulers have always ruled the same way. They use the same terms, the same emblems and symbols, and there doesn't seem to, from my point of view, there is no chaos going on. All the things that we're seeing in the Middle East and the wars and the terrible things happening, it's pretty much a part of a world plan. And it's been around for a long time, and there are people who know about it.
Now, who's made this plan?
Well, this goes back at least 6,000 years. We can trace it back to the old Phoenician Canaanites. Zechariah Sitchin has traced it back to the Sumerians. Mm-hmm. Others have picked up pieces of this grand plan in the Egyptians. But it's a very ancient story, and it's not something that I obviously can give you in the next few minutes. But suffice it to say that... the bottom line, I guess the one thing I'd like for you to know, and we don't have much time, is the bottom line on all theology and the whole world, the entire concept of spirituality and religion, God, that's an explosive word, religion. I mean, the very word religion goes back to a Latin word, religio, which means to bind down and tie back. And what do you mean, bind down and tie back, religio or religion? Well, it goes back to a word in law. If you go to a law dictionary and look up the word fas, F-A-S, fas in a law dictionary is God's law. look up the word J-U-S, just, and it will tell you that is man's law. So in Latin, man's law is just or justice, and in God's law, according to the law dictionary, is spelled F-A-S, fuss. Therefore, the promotion of and the administration of God's law, fuss, is referred to as fascism or fascism.
Uh-huh.
So fascism is God's law. And therefore, you'll say, wait a minute, what do you mean God's law? I know what fascism is. Well, the fascism goes back to the most ancient symbol for God in the whole world. The most ancient symbol for God was an axe, A-X. A hatchet or an axe was always a symbol for the divine presence in the universe, the God. So if you are a fire, they're going to give you the axe.
I see.
Consequently, the axe has always represented the presence of the Almighty God. He can chop down anything. He can take anything down. So the axe was a symbol of God. Now, once you understand the axe being the symbol of God and fas or fascism is the law of God, then you get into the whole idea of World War II was a war between the Axis powers, between Adolf Hitler, Mussolini, and what was the symbol for Hitler and Mussolini if it wasn't a fasci, the bundle of sticks tied down or tied back, a bundle of sticks tied down with a hatchet head or an axe, fascism, world dominated by God's law. All of this has to do with Rome. All of this has to do with the Roman Empire and how the words and terms and corporations and corporate logos and presidential retreats and everything else in the world around you all goes back to the Roman Empire, to the domination of the entire world by the Caesars of Rome.
So what we've done is made a perfect circle. We're right back where we started from.
You got it. That's precisely the point I was going to make. That for as much as we have changed, we stay the same. We've gone all the way back around the corner and meet up at the same place, and today we are still finally coming under the absolute iron boot of Tiberius Caesar, Emperor of Rome, and Rome is the world, and therefore the Emperor of the world is Caesar, and consequently he was called the August One, which means the Great and Mighty One. This is where we get Julius Caesar, the August One, July of August.
I see.
My God, where in the world does this stuff stop?
It's good question.
Everywhere.
All right, let's hold on here. We've got to take a commercial break, so I guess it's going to stop here for at least 2 minutes. On tomorrow night's show, Dr. Len Horowitz joins us, Daniel Pinchbeck joins us, and Robin DiTocco joins us, and that's tomorrow night here on the X-Zone Radio Show. Jordan, we have about a minute and a half left in tonight's show. First of all, I'd like to thank you very much for joining us tonight. Always a pleasure talking to you. And this has been so interesting. What does it mean that we've gone right back to Rome? We see that our words have led us on a geographical journey across the world, bringing us right back to Rome. Does this have something to do with the significance of the Vatican being in Rome as well?
Understand what the word Vatican means, and understand that the Vatican is the basis what we call international banking law out of Geneva, Switzerland. International banking law is based on what is referred to as Vatican canon law. This is why the pirates always had cannons. This is why you have cannons on the ship, because it was the law. They rule the seas with cannons, and the Vatican is called canon law. And once you understand canon law is the basis for all banking law on the earth. The Vatican canon law is the basis for all business on the earth. We need to wake up and get a life and start understanding the words and terms of what this stuff all means. And that's why when a Hebrew high priest dies, nobody knows. When a Protestant high priest dies, nobody knows. But when the Pope dies, kings and rulers crawl on their knees and beat themselves in sackcloth and ashes and mourn the passing of the great pontiff. Why? Because he is the bottom line on all money on the earth, period. End of sentence. And once you understand the powers of Rome and the power to manipulate finance and commerce on the earth, now you'll see why the kings pay tribute to the Holy Father.
Jordan, I want to thank you very much for joining us tonight. We're going to have you back so we can actually talk about theology in a very special way, the way that you look at it. Jordan Maxwell, thank you very much for being with us tonight, sir.
Bye-bye.
Jordan's website is www.jordanmaxwell.com. And that brings us to the end of tonight, so I'd like to thank each and every one of you for being part of our audience. To my producer at Master Control, Kim Matthews. Kim, as always, a great job. Thank you very much for keeping up on us up on those two big birds and around the world on TalkStarRadio.com streaming audio. Jeff Burks at Pioneer Radio. Thank you, Jeff. And to my senior producer, Laura Rogers, thank you very much for your hard work and your support as my life partner. And to each and every one of you, thank you for allowing us to be part of your day, part of your night, no matter where you are on this great, big, beautiful planet of ours. Don't forget, go to our website at www.exone-radio.com/petition.htm. Sign our online DU petition, Depleted Uranium. Let's make a difference. There are times are changing, and we're in interesting times, and I'm so happy that you and I are going to be part of what's happening in the future. So from everyone here at the X-Zone Radio Show and the TalkStar Radio Network, keep your eyes to the sky and your heart to the light, and I'll see you tomorrow night at 10 o'clock as, once again, the X-Zone rides on the TalkStar Radio Network. Good night, everyone.